If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
All right, this marks our time with Leroy, who is in the building as we speak. Leroy, the welcome. Will you welcome us into the weekend? So lovely to have you here. We are so happy to see the weekend through your eyes.
Oh, has it been a tough week for you too?
It's been a busy week.
Yeah. I thought not having a budget last week would have made things a little quieter this week.
And do you, so you see why we're so happy to see you.
Yes, I'm the purveyor of the weekend. I bring the weekend with
and
me.
You bring lightness, you know, and it's so wonderful to have.
And I also need to put on record that I haven't ghosted you guys this year, have I?
No.
You see, this relationship is going from strength to strength. Like, do so much better. So much better.
He doesn't know that you have an entire liner, which belongs to you. And I mean,
Freddy,
get with the
program. I am part of the establishment. I've got a parking bay. I've got a parking spot.
What to watch on Point of View.
We love it. Welcome, Leroy.
Hello, Duelang, Freddy, guys.
He's here now. All right, so let's talk about what to watch this weekend. I love ex-husbands.
Did you?
Yes, I do.
So let me tell you what my theme was for this week, right? Because I try and have a theme every week because the content is a lot.
Yes.
There's a lot of movies coming
out. Was your theme old, grumpy old men?
Mine was...
Your theme was grumpy old men.
Mine was, grumpy old men.
No, it was definitely
But in my mind, the term I'd put up was like second wave, like the second life, your second coming. You know, grumpy old men. It is very grumpy old men. But ex-husbands to me was so interesting because, you know, the stories about this elderly man, Peter, he's a dentist who's just like midstream, whatever. And then he decides to leave his wife after 35 years.
They were waiting for the children to die.
the line.
That's why they waited so long.
But what did the 90-year-old couple say when they were getting divorced?
They were waiting for children to die.
I loved it. I think it was beautiful. So the whole idea is that there's this dentist, his name is Peter, and he's leaving his wife after 35 years. So they're ready to divorce now. And then while this is happening, his father, he's leaving his wife, his mom, of 65 years. Being together, and they decide to go to Mexico to just like, you know, relax and go on this vacation. And his son, Peter's son Nick, is going there for his bachelor party.
Yeah,
but it turns out that the wedding is not going to happen. Yeah. So now you have these people who are ex-husbands in their own right, for varying issues, coming together and having a conversation. And you start seeing this like three-way generational story coming together of these three men sharing sort of like their stories. You know, it's meant to be, a dramedy, right? A little indie dramedy where it's drama and comedy.
It's sensitive enough as well, though. I thought it was very beautifully done.
I think it was just tasteful. And I think it did very well. I mean, there were times where they could have really cut some scenes down because there was a point where they're walking on the beach and it went on for an age. But that's mainly a sort of editing note as opposed to the acting. But for me, it was a solemn, simple,
real,
wholesome movie about three generations coming together and having this deep conversation about what it means to be a man, a husband, and family.
The old guy.
So this is a different one. Okay, so the old guy is also taking the whole idea of aging and really turning it on its head. The whole idea is that you've got this old hitman he's getting old, and you know, being a hitman, the occupational hazard that you might have some arthritis, right? Because, you know, you're pulling the trigger quite so often. So you get this man who, unfortunately, he just can't do it anymore. You know, he is an assassin. He works for this company. And now, the body's giving out, yet he's still sharp. So what they do, and it happens very much like in corporate South Africa, right, where you have to like train the new guy to take over your job.
Who's got nail polish, like all of you men here.
Black
nail polish.
We're very well groomed here in the studio.
Isn't that very new age? Which is the point.
Pamela is calling you a Generation Z, probably. Gen Z, because we wear nail polish. I think maybe we we are. Maybe we are. But the thing about him wearing nail polish is that it's exactly that, right? You're young. You're this, like, new
age.
It
doesn't make you less of a man.
It does make you less of a man.
But it makes you a modern man.
It makes you a modern man. Remember the buzzword back in the day, Brady, when you and I were in our 20s, it was called metrosexual.
Yes.
And now it's just evolved into...
He's just a guy who wears nail polish.
Who wears nail polish.
Who looks after himself, actually.
Incidentally, my manicurist is fantastic. So shout out to her. And here we have this guy, then they have this like collaboration where they now come together as the old hitman and the young hitman, and the very unlikely relationship that develops there. It is a movie that is wholesome, has the boom boom bam that you expect from a bit of fun. And what's interesting also, you get Lucy Liu in this one.
Yes.
She comes up as a love interest of one of the gentlemen. I won't explain who. And for me, I really enjoyed it because it was a fun movie. I left there going, you know what? I got nothing out of that. I got absolutely nothing but a good belly laugh, and I walked away feeling thoroughly entertained. It is in theatres as of the 21st of February.
I'll end with the other one, but yeah. I want to go to Riff Raff again. Grumpy old men again.
And also more assassinations, right? So the story is a little bit of a complex here.
Yeah.
So please follow with me. Right. So this uncle brother, okay, he used to be an assassin. He left his ex-wife, got married to his new wife, Gabrielle Union, and they have a happy home and a child. Are you with me?
We are with you.
Right. So his ex-wife is Jennifer Coolidge, you know, from White Lotus.
Yes.
She's hilarious. And she does exactly.
She's so funny.
And she does exactly what you need her to do.
She's so funny.
She gives you belly laughs. She's vulgar. She's rude. She's inappropriate. And
belly
I love
laughs while she's not laughing.
While she's not. Yeah. And it's her face that gives.
It's the face.
You know, so one of the critics said, the nice thing about Jennifer Coolidge is that, you know, she might seem like a one-trick pony, but you know exactly what you're getting with her because she will give you, I mean, there's one where.
I don't know how she kept that face straight.
I don't know how she keeps her face all the time. She reminds me of the one line in White Lotus where she goes, oh, the gays, they're trying to kill me, you know? And you're sitting there going, she's saying with the straightest face, and if anyone else said it, that line would have fallen flat.
Absolutely.
But she comes as the ex-wife now.
Yeah.
And she's coming along for the ride because her son that she has with her ex-husband, Ed Harris, has committed a bit of a crime. And so now dad is forced to get back into the fold. And it's this wonderful sort of many, many incidents coming together where you have what could be like a lot of White Lotus episodes all coming together in terms of it's thoroughly entertaining.
It is.
I think they underutilize the people
it's
like Gabrielle Union. I would have cast someone else because I think the role is sort of...
Yeah, I'm not sure about her. I loved everybody else. And you know what it is? And it's going to sound so terrible.
Mm.
She was a pretty face in the film.
Yes. And we also needed...
And it was not necessary.
And we needed a black pretty face because the cast is quite white.
It does... But like, we didn't need a black pretty face. Mm-mm. We just...
And you know what also...
It could have been fine.
And what annoyed me too was that Gabrielle Union looks 10 years younger than she is, right? She hasn't aged a day. Like, time doesn't touch her. And then she's got...
Misfit.
And her husband is Ed Harris, who looks like... he's aging like, you know, unpasteurized milk. Mm. Like... And you're sitting there going, oh, okay.
I would have loved it to be more real. If they really had to bring in a black face, that's fine. But like some grit, like everybody else.
Yeah, I would have gone Angela Bassett. I would have gone for someone who really knows
some
how
grit,
to be.
Some grit, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, she plays it up. So very star-studded cast. It has Jennifer Coolidge, as I said, Gabrielle Union, Pete Davidson, who plays the son of Bill Murray. Ed Harris is in it. It's very star-studded. It's fun to watch, but you also need to sort of take it slowly because there's a lot of moving parts in it. And CIA sort of...
I thought it was too packed.
Yeah.
I thought they put too much in it.
You know what happens when you buy like really good ingredients to make one meal, but each ingredient is so strong on its own, and you're almost trying to hero each one of them. And that's what I felt was happening. That's why I would have cast someone, not of lesser stature, but someone who wasn't as well known as a Gabrielle Union, maybe not a Pete Davidson, you know, someone who's just a little smaller because those roles were integral. We didn't need mega superstars for it. Maybe the downside of having a huge budget and not knowing what to do with it.
My dead friend Zoe. Morgan Freeman.
As a therapist?
My goodness.
The voice of God.
Just for Morgan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I couldn't stop enjoying the... Because you know when you have like a ghost story, like, you know, we have this disembodied person, because even the name of the movie is My Dead Friend Zoe. You're expecting it to be like a little like jarring and a bit creepy, right?
None of that.
I love the take on death.
Yeah.
I like this idea that, you know, they,
love
these
the
two
ladies too.
Exactly. So Meredith, Merit and Zoe are in the army together, and they are lovers and, you know, friends who are really strong. And they have a pact to say, you know, when something happens to us, don't make it a big thing. You know, just let me pass on in happiness. But we find this very interesting change, because Zoe, who then passes away, we don't know how she passes away, didn't want to leave the army. She was actually quite attached to it, because I think she was afraid of the world. Mm. Whereas Merit is the opposite, right? She wants to go to college. She's now done her deployment and she doesn't want to re-enlist. And she's now being followed around by the spirit of her friend Zoe. And it's interesting to see how she sort of navigates it. But the connection here is that Zoe's grandfather is living in a lake house somewhere off in rural America. And Zoe's mom says, go fetch Mkulu, you know, you need to sort of bring him home and live with him. And she's like, I don't wanna. And through reconnecting with her grandfather, she's then able to put the ghost of Zoe to rest. Fantastic.
Lovely.
Good.
Lovely.
And needed right now, especially with the climate that America's going through.
Lovely. Then we go to the theatre.
I love the theatre.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to pronounce it. So I went Mostra, right?
Msodra.
Msodra. Okay. And again, it's this idea of, I always like the stories that transcend the traditional idea of what a township looks like. You know, we always have the story of like the Sharpevilles and the Soweto's. Here it's interesting because you have this young man who is the story of the Inkatha Freedom Party and Inkatha killings. I remember it very vaguely because I was about 2 or 3 when it happened. And I know there was like this panic around my community in Dlamini and Soweto where you weren't allowed to leave the house because Inkatha. Mm. And so we find ourselves here. We've got this boy who is sort of like this gospel man of the church, loved by everyone. Whilst he's like this massive assassin himself, right? He is scared. The people are scared of him in the streets because he's like a thug and is a murderer. And you find this wonderful interplay between the two roles that he plays in the community. And it's so interesting to see as he struggles as a young black man trying to find his place, but also playing both sides of these of these communities that he belongs in. Absolutely riveting. It's happening at the Joburg Theatre from today all the way to the 2nd of March. The 2nd of March show is a matinee, so please go and check it out. The Joburg Theatre, one of my favourite.
Thanks, Leroy.
I'll see you next week.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.